I'll be reading from the beginning and end of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll flip forward to the end, chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. Ephesians, found on page 976, and I'll be reading just the first few verses and the last few verses. Hear the word of our God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Let's pray briefly. Oh Lord God, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would understand these words penned by your apostles so long ago. Lord, that these are written for us. Lord, would you open our eyes to them? And Lord, would you do as you have promised? Would you give grace and peace to your people? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's that time of year that a lot of people are giving and receiving gift cards, or greeting cards, that sort of thing. So perhaps you've received a card in the mail that has a nice picture on the front, and you open it up and it has a nice verse inside, and it has a signature perhaps of the person who sent it. And then if you flip on the back, you can see if it was made by a really nice company or one of the cheaper ones. And you can enjoy the nice greetings that were sent to you. Of course, not to discount those are very kind. It's thoughtful of someone to send you something like that. But sometimes within there's something else that's tucked in there. You younger people have a little bit of excitement when you open up a gift card, and it might contain a little bit of money in there. Or sometimes people will slip inside a gift card movie tickets or plane tickets or a gift card. That's a very kind and generous gift. And don't just think greeting cards. You can actually do that with anything you send in a letter. Can you imagine if you got a letter in the mail that looked like a bill, and you opened it up and instead it was a credit to your account? That's a nice thing to receive. Well, here, as we've read from the beginning and ending of Ephesians, we're reading a letter. We're reading something that in today's society might arrive in an envelope, or perhaps in our context we might think of it as an email that's getting opened. But it's a little bit different. It's a bit different than that given the culture it's in. But with it comes gifts. As you open up this letter, expect that you're going to find something inside. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, there is no gift card for grace. There's no train ticket to peace. But Paul really means what he's saying. And we're going to look at what it means that this letter comes bearing those words, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we'll see and what I trust God will impress upon your hearts as we open up just the bookends of this letter this morning, that God willing, you will receive His grace and peace in the church. God willing, receive His grace and peace in the church. Now, that part, God willing, is so important in this opening of the letter to the Ephesians. Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He both writes down the sender and the recipient. It's much like an email. We don't, in a formal letter, you actually write who it's to at the top, and you write who it's from at the beginning, or at the end. Did I mix that up? Sorry. But in an email, it's a lot more sensible. You put both who it's from and who it's to at the beginning. That's the way it was of ancient letters at this period of history. So Paul's telling you who it's from. Of course, it's Paul, but he gives us a little bit of detail of what he's trying to impress upon the Ephesians about himself as he writes this letter. He says, Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus, and he adds, by the will of God. Now that's a striking thing to add, especially as Paul is writing to the Ephesians. Now, we talked a little bit about the history of Ephesus last week. For those of you who weren't here, Paul had had several missionary journeys that he went on. And on his second missionary journey, he actually passed through Ephesians, but he didn't have time to stay there. He was on his way to somewhere else. And so he preached to them, and they said, well, stick around. We want you to stay here. We want you to stay longer. And Paul wanted to preach to them, of course. But Paul said, I can't. I'm on my way elsewhere, but I will return to you if the Lord wills. That is recorded for us in Acts, and it actually sets the tone of the relationship that Paul has had with the Ephesians from the very beginning. Paul is not just on his own will or we might think on the will of the Antioch church, the church that has been sending him on these missionary journeys. Perhaps he's thinking along those lines of what's going to bring him back to the Ephesians or what's going to tell him where he should go. No, Paul has explicitly to the Ephesians told them that it is dependent upon the will of God that I preach here or I preach elsewhere. Now, the striking thing is that Paul, in this letter to the Ephesians, he mentions the will of God in referring to himself in the very opening, but not just there. Look throughout the first chapter, and you'll find that in verse 5, in verse 9, in verse 11, Paul's repeatedly coming back to the will of God. The immutable, that is unchangeable. The eternal, that is, it's lasted forever. The immutable, unchangeable will of God. It's the same will which has predestined both Paul and the Ephesians and us too for adoptions as sons through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same will which unites all things, Jews and Gentiles, also things in heaven and on earth, in Christ, in verse 9. It is the same will by which we receive the promised inheritance. And so Paul is connecting that the same will of God that has been so kind and gracious to you in bringing you to all the treasures and the wonderful privileges that you have in Jesus Christ, that same will is the same will by which I am an apostle writing to you. You know what that does? That gives Paul confidence. Confidence that he is writing, he's writing the very words of God for us. Paul's writing as an apostle with authority. Paul is writing what God wants the Ephesians to hear. And you know, that's what God wants you to hear. These words. Are you ready to hear these words penned by a man who was in that ministry by the will of God? It was the will of God that brought Paul back. You know, he said, I will return to you if the Lord wills. Well, the Lord did will. And Paul returned. He preached at Ephesus for a few years. And it's the same will of God that's working today in the world. Do you realize that, friends? Why has the church, or why has the gospel of Jesus Christ spread to the Americas? Why has it spread to Wichita, Kansas? Why has it spread to Nanjing, China, or to Nantes, France, or to Ahuil, South Sudan? Why to Kobe, Japan? Because the Lord God willed it. This should give you confidence. The same will has brought about this church, Trinity Reformed Church, to exist, to testify to the grace of Jesus Christ. It's the Lord who's willing that is the foundation upon this letter. And we'll see that so much more in the sermons to come. And so Paul writes by the will of God, but Paul also talks about that he is the apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Now also, as we look at the book of Acts, we know a little bit about how Paul came to be the apostle of Jesus Christ. If you're unfamiliar with this story, I want you to get ready. This is going to rock your world. Paul wasn't born Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ. It wasn't prophesied from heaven, as he was laying in the manger, so to speak, that Paul would have this great life of preaching the gospel, of serving the church, that Paul would always do good. No, Paul actually has a very dark past. There was a time in his life that he was known as Saul the Pharisee. Saul the Pharisee was, he may have looked like a good man to his other Pharisees. He was zealous for doing what they and their group had determined what was right. He was a zealous religious man. He went to church, we might say. He thought he was doing the right things. In fact, he was proud of the things he was doing. And among those things, he was opposing what he viewed as false teaching. Well, dear friends, what that meant was he was opposing Jesus Christ. Dear friends, this same man had a period of his life where he was breathing murderous threats, where he had letters of authority entitling him to have the right to go after people, to hunt them down, to haul them, drag them into prison. And in fact, Saul was even that man who seeing the first Christian martyr, Stephen, stoned, he saw it and he approved of it. Dear friends, Paul has not always been Paul. Something changed in his life. Something amazing happened. And we often think around this time of year of New Year's resolutions, and kind of what that amounts to is, well, I'm going to make a decision to change, and I'm just going to, by my own power, by my own strength, pull myself up by my own bootstraps, and I'm going to somehow do this myself. Dear friends, that's not the change that happened with Paul. Now, Paul has been changed by the grace of God. When he was Saul, he did not want to change. When he was Saul, he had no resolution that I'm going to be a better person and stop persecuting these Christians. He had no desire in his heart to follow Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ met him on the road. Jesus Christ knocked him off his horse. Jesus Christ blinded him with the brightest light and humbled him. And Jesus Christ worked grace in his life. And so it's this Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus, and yes, he is an apostle by Christ Jesus. It was declared to him that he was a chosen instrument to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul is set aside to this office, but first of all, we've got to recognize that this is a man that knows grace. This is a man that knows that God can change people's hearts. This is a man who knows what he's saying when he says to the Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Dear friends, Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," knowing what he's talking about. This is a man who knows salvation by grace. The striking thing is that it's also by grace that Paul is a minister of the gospel, that Paul himself is introduced here as the apostle of Christ Jesus. He tells the Ephesians later in this very letter, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power to me, though I am the very least of the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Do you see the change in Paul? He was so proud. He was so self-righteous. He was so after his own strength doing what he thought was right. God brought him to this place of humility. He sees himself as the least of the saints. He sees himself, even this privilege that he has of being an apostle, being able to write this letter, even penning the very word of God down for us by the Holy Spirit. It's grace. It's grace. And it's this very apostle who writes, grace to you. Grace to you. You know what that means, dear friends? If there's a problem that you're facing right now, if there's a sin that you are facing right now, if there's something in your life where you see your own hardness of heart, or perhaps you don't see your own hardness of heart, if you are blinded to your own sin, even as blind as Saul was, there's hope. Because the same grace that Paul knows is the same grace that he's talking about as he writes to you. There's hope, dear friends, because God's grace is powerful. God is, by his grace, able to move, to make rocks to cry out. God is, by his grace, able to turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. So take comfort in what we're reading as you're hearing the sermons to come and through Ephesians. These are for you. These are for your strength. This is for your hope. That Paul is writing these things that grace may be imparted through these words to you. Paul's not... We might take a false view of this letter where Paul said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And we might think of it as kind of being like that gift card. And if only we could find the original manuscript. There's a little bit of grace and a little bit of peace in that letterhead with his own writing. No, that's not what Paul's saying. Grace isn't imparted through tokens or through through letterhead. But grace is given through the Word of God by the working of the Holy Spirit. And so as you come in the coming weeks hearing these sermon series through Ephesians, have that expectation. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've talked a bit about grace. We've seen a bit of what grace Paul has seen. He mentions peace here as well. Now, that's a striking thing. I think it's easy... to kind of think of peace what do you think of when you think of peace? I mean, think about it. You know, peace to you. What do you think that's actually conveying to you, or what do you think is intended to signify by that? Because I have a feeling that perhaps we're all a bit influenced by more Eastern mysticism, or perhaps we're thinking a little bit more individualized of what peace might be. Boy, things are hectic right now. If only I could have some peace. And you're expecting, well, maybe what Paul is saying is that maybe, you know, I'll stop having these bills come in, and maybe my kids will stop being so crazy, and maybe my job will just stop being so hectic. Maybe that's the peace that Paul's talking about. No, it's not quite that kind of peace. Now, the peace that Paul's talking about isn't a cessation of the wild and craziness. And we know that actually by the situation that Paul is in. Where's Paul writing from? Is Paul writing from, you know, sandy beaches? Is he writing from a tall tower where he can kind of be to himself and just meditate all day? Dear friends, Paul is writing from prison. Paul is an ambassador in chains, as he calls himself in this letter. Paul is writing as a prisoner of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is an old man. This is not a very peaceful situation that Paul is finding himself in. So what does he mean by peace? Well, he means a little bit of that word peace means in the Old Testament. It's that shalom. It's that fullness of life. It is that activity. It's not a cessation of things. It's actually an engagement with things. It's not building your ivory tower and then living in it. It's actually engaging with the problems of the world. We see that in Paul too. Here Paul is a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a prisoner on behalf of the fact that he is preaching the gospel, and he's in chains. Now, he's not as imprisoned, we might say, as he will be later, where he a lot of his contact gets cut off. Right now, he's more like under house arrest, but he's still in chains. But Paul is active. Paul is hearing. He's trying to gather news from all the places that he's been to preach. He wants to hear from the Ephesians. He wants to hear from the Colossians. He wants to hear from them so that he can be praying for them. He is active in prayer. He is engaged in the problems that they're going through. And he's writing letters. The Ephesians is one of those letters. Colossians is one of those letters. The letter to Philemon. He's trying to solve problems, interpersonal problems, even from prison. He is engaging with the problems of the world. That's the kind of peace. Do you get that? Does this rock your world? The peace that Paul is talking about is not a peace that isolates you, but a peace that enables you to interact with the problems that you're facing. And particularly, Paul is talking about the peace that is necessary in the church. Now, Paul, in his other letters that he's writing to this time, we read from Philemon, he's handling a specific problem there. There's a slave that ran away and later became a Christian, and Paul's sending him back and hoping that he doesn't get punished for running away, but instead received as a brother by the former master. Paul's writing to the Colossians, and he's handling specific problems in that church there. The striking thing with the letter to the Ephesians is it's much more general. It's much more positive. It's much more less about the particulars of there, and it's more handling problems all, you know, that every church faces. In fact, the striking thing is at early manuscripts of this letter to the Ephesians didn't say to the Ephesians. It said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not to say that those words in Ephesus weren't there, but there were copies made of this letter that had that particular tie to Ephesus taken out, because this letter was seen as, this is for all the churches to benefit from. And indeed, even written to Ephesus, it would have that effect. Ephesus is a cosmopolitan city. People come in from all of Asia. They come into this city. They interact with the church there. They're going to hear this letter. And this is a church, this is a letter that's not just for the Ephesians, not just for some city long ago. This letter was circulated around Asia. This letter was circulated around the world. This letter is circulated even to us right now. I think Paul had us even in mind as he's writing this letter to the Ephesians. Of course the Holy Spirit did. Of course the Holy Spirit did. So let's learn from this. Paul has this peace that he's talking about as he's writing to the church. And dear friends, how necessary is this? Because in the church in Ephesus and in the churches around Asia and in the churches around the world since, and even in this church, there's going to be temptations to divide. There's going to be temptations to dig in our heels on each of our side of the issue. There's going to be temptations to have everything but peace. Paul's writing this letter so that there might be peace in the church. Dear friends, take comfort in that. Dear friends, have an expectation for the rest of this letter. Paul knows that there's going to be temptations to infighting and to divisive issues. Paul anticipates that until he writes this letter. So as we enter this sermon series, be ready. You need grace. We all need grace. You need peace. We all together, as the church here, we need this peace. So all those things together that Paul, yes, and I've labored to show you that Paul has experienced these things. Paul has experienced grace. Paul has experienced peace. But it's not that Paul has received these things and therefore he's giving us some of his. It's not that we're receiving some of Paul's grace or we're receiving some of Paul's peace. What I want you to have the expectation of as we continue this sermon series is that it's the peace of our Lord, or God our Father. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not coming from Paul. We're not getting secondhand here. We're getting the real thing from God our Father Himself. That God who has willed all things from before the foundation of the world. We are getting grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace that was wrought by, that was purchased by His righteousness. Grace that is given freely to you, directly to you, as we hear from His Word, as we are led by His Spirit. So in all these things, get excited. This is going to be exciting. We're going to be going through Ephesians for the next few months. And get excited that it's the same will that brought Paul to be saved. It's the same grace that worked in his life that changed him from Saul to Paul. It's the same grace that made him an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's this same peace that was necessary in Ephesus. It's necessary here. And Paul has the answer. Reconciling through the Lord Jesus Christ. So God willing, peace, or receive His grace and peace in the church. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You did send this letter. We thank You for the testimony that You give to these things in Paul himself, that he understood what he was writing about, even though he wasn't the source of them. Lord, would You set our eyes on You, Lord Jesus. Lord, give us faith in You, God, our Heavenly Father. Lord, send Your Holy Spirit that we would understand and receive these things. Lord, that You would be glorified. Lord, that You would be known to be the one who does, even today, give grace to Your church. You do bring about peace, even to Your people today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.